Welcome back to Talk Shonen. My name's Turtle.
And I am the Jared.
It's been a little bit, Jared.
Has been a while. It's great to have you back here.
Thank you. It's been a hell, hellscape of life lately.
We missed having the turtle.
Yeah. So this week, we in previous episodes,
Talk Shonen.
Previously on Dragon Ball Z.
Goku is still making the spirit bomb.
Just give me your freedom. Wait, freedom? No, what's the...
Give me your freedom. Or give me your death.
Death, that's it. That's famously Goku screamed, yeah, Goku. Give me your freedom or give me your death. Come on, duh. You
Goku,
don't know these things?
1943.
Oh my God. So we talked about some of the upcoming movies in this holiday season that hit.
We watched a bunch of really good trailers.
You watched a bunch of really amazing trailers.
To really good trailers. And then said everything we wished and thought and
theorized on it. And now the time has come. We have seen. At least I've seen all of them that I've talked about except for one.
I only got to see the two.
I haven't seen Eternals yet.
And I saw most of the Eternals.
Okay.
But I saw both of the things while I was in Colorado.
Okay.
So it was cool. I went to see Spider-Man in the theaters.
Oh, you know what? I didn't see Let There Be Carnage.
Oh, neither did I.
But I wasn't super excited for that one. The trailers didn't like... I want to see it, but...
That wasn't one of the ones where the trailer blew me away, yeah. But I just... The concept of it is... I needed to.
Yeah. Okay, which one are you going to start with?
Okay, we're going to start with the first one that we talked about, which was Matrix.
Matrix, yes. Oh, man. The...
Wow.
The disappointment. Now, I should preface...
We had really high hopes for that movie.
Look, I went in cautious anyway, thinking, you know, it's a fourth Matrix 20 years later.
It was also straight to streaming, so it was technically...
Well, I saw it in theaters.
Oh, you saw it in theaters? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I went for the full experience. I tried to give it the best chance.
I don't know. It felt like a made-for-TV movie.
That's exactly what my friend said that I saw with, and I agree. It felt like this could have been like a straight-to-home release. It didn't...
If this was 1990...
Oh, my God.
This would have been straight to VHS.
Yes. Like, this was like the Animatrix. It was a nice addition.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really contribute to the story in any...
I feel like this one could have been a video game.
Oh, absolutely. This would have been prime for a video game. Yeah. It was all colorful and shit and perfectly video gamed anyway.
If you were controlling the characters, it would have been more fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
But since we weren't controlling the characters,
it
was, and I will say that this is my resounding argument for why this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh my God. That's pretty rough.
It was so fucking boring. I was bored the whole time. I felt no sense of urgency, no sense of stakes. There was hardly any congruency to the plot. So I'm just sitting there going, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Why is it happening? And why is nothing really happening?
I'm going to argue that the beginning half of the movie was good.
It was interesting.
The beginning where it's probably the first like 45 minutes are just where you're trying to decide if the Matrix was all in his head and if he's really crazy, and they show little flashes, but you don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting.
If they kind of hung on to that and gave that more story and like him really uncovering it instead of immediately jumping to... Oh no, it's all real.
I fully believe this 100%.
Yeah.
Even though everything is telling me that it's not real.
Like that premise of like, are you insane? Is a really interesting premise.
Well, it really shows the difference between what it was like in the early 2000s compared to what it's like now.
Yeah.
Where in the early 2000s, there wasn't this sort of sense of like awareness of everything and awareness of self, and you know, and or there wasn't a drive to make sure that you're psychologically taken care of, and you know, an awareness of when you're not psychologically good. So, I mean, like, I understand where it is because it's a different environment now, but the thing is, I feel like because of the fact that it was leaning into that and really hanging on that for the first 45, it felt like it was a movie going, hey, we're this movie, but we're not this movie. But we are this movie, but we're not this movie.
And that's exactly it. Is this movie had a crisis of identity?
Yes.
It was trying to be like three different genre movies, three different concept movies, all at the same time. Because it had the was it all a dream, a
was
video
it all
game?
A
is
dream?
He just, you know, struggling to cope with reality, whatever? Which I loved that whole beginning. I thought could have been done was really well done and could have gone farther and better.
Honestly, I think it should have just been a short, and it should have just been the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. They did some stuff that I really disagreed with, but then they also jump into, okay, now it's just an action movie. Like,
and it wasn't even, okay, the great thing about The Matrix was it was a groundbreaking action movie.
Yes.
It was unlike anything that the large majority of the population had ever seen. I mean, technically Bullet Time existed because of a commercial shortly before that.
It was
really
brought into the mainstream with The Matrix.
And it pushed the boundaries of what people really were used to seeing in cinema.
Yeah.
When it came to action, because for the most part, action movies up until then were fast-paced.
Yep.
Or it was super duper slowed down so that you can see everything that was happening.
Yep.
And this one, there was like, what if we did both at the same time?
Like, it's happening super fucking quick.
Yeah.
But we slow it down it works.
Yeah.
This, it didn't have any of that. And this didn't have the authentic martial arts feel. It didn't have...
Oh my God, freaking Keanu Reeves just pushing.
Just the whole time.
Every single time.
His best fight scene was with Fake Smith in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that fight scene was not mind-blowing. Like, it wasn't bad.
It was also like, it's like 2 minutes. It was a minute long,
It was not a long scene at all. And then there was, what was the third genre I had in my head that I just lost? I was going to talk about this.
Sci-fi?
So it kind of went for that like sci-fi visual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, stunning visuals instead. Yeah. But it didn't really double down on anything, and so it kind of...
I missed the grittiness.
Yeah.
It looked too clean.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it went for just striking visuals, and it was, you know, like, maybe they did something like the difference between the real world and when he's tripping is, like, that psychedelic thing or whatever. Like,
I would have been more okay with that.
Yeah, it would have been really cool, but it just didn't do it.
There's a lot of things. Like, it's... They still never fix the whole, you know, oh, we're still doing this for energy thing. Mm-hmm. And we're like, this would have been your perfect chance to fix that because people are smarter now.
Yeah.
People understand you can't get a lot of energy from a human body. Yeah. But you can get a lot of computing power.
Exactly.
People aren't dumb now. If you're going to fucking try to overhaul the whole series completely, just change that.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, there were some cool things I liked that were already hinted on in like the Animatrix.
Mm-hmm.
So like machines on human side.
Yeah, really I did. Cool. I will say I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same point, it was just kind of like they focused on it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Once it was brought up, that I was like, cool, that should have been in passing.
Yeah, that's
we
like
understand.
We get the concept.
we get that enemies can become friends.
Yeah.
With enough time passing.
And Neil Patrick Harris was pretty good in his role.
I will say I loved him as what the heck was he called again?
He was the architect, but he wasn't the architect.
He was like the administrator, more than the architect.
Whatever he was. But it was a cool concept. I didn't like him for the combat end of things.
Oh, when he did the reverse bullet time? Timed the bullet time?
Yeah, whatever the fuck he was doing there.
Will say that was probably the closest to a cool effect that they did.
Yeah.
Just him going normal speed.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else slowed down.
Yeah.
But everything else slowed down to an insane extent. And Neo slowed down to a slightly less insane extent. So I was like, that's interesting. But at the same point, there was so much fucking exposition after that.
It was so much.
Blah, 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 blah.
So much.
Ever.
I didn't love the whole thing with Trinity and the... Double, and that's not like Neo's the only one that can be special. It didn't make sense to me. There's so many things they didn't follow through with on why this is happening.
Because here's the thing, I understand. Like it kind of plays into that narrative that everything has to be woke, and a lot of people are criticizing it because they're like, okay, well, it just did what every movie did, where now the woman is now the hero.
Yeah,
but if they would have done that, but doubled down on it and made it that Neo had none powers.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, it was gone, whatever.
Yeah, like completely gone. Like he thought he can do it, and everybody else thought he can do it, but in the whole, another thing that irritated, the rebuilding of them.
Yeah.
Because it's not even just like they resuscitated them.
No, yeah, they rebuilt
they
them.
They built them from scratch.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you need
something
anything?
Up or like, you know, corrected something in his brain or something. Yeah, that
like,
didn't
or
allow
like
it.
Or like they just took one piece from him and accidentally put it into Trinity and whatever. A piece from Trinity and accidentally put it into
exactly.
him.
Exactly. It would have been, it would have, I'd be down with that. I'm down with
if they were, if they would have swapped roles completely.
Yeah.
It would have made sense because there's still a one.
Yeah, a one that makes the fills the role.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
What they ended up doing mm-hmm. was they made a half.
Yeah.
Neo was a half for the whole movie until the last 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he was the one again.
Mm-hmm.
And Trinity was just immediately the one.
Mm-hmm.
Just a full understanding of how
full,
to do everything.
Full goal.
And I was like, so there's two ones. Yep. So now it's a two, but it's, it's a one and a half and then a two.
Yeah. I didn't like Agent Smith.
No.
He like the actor was fine. And actually,
he did a good job.
Actually, correction. I love the actor. He's the king from he's Henry and the king in Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yep.
And he does insane like
he's also in Frozen.
He is, yeah, you're right.
He's Kristoff.
Yeah. He's amazing. I love him.
He's a very good actor.
He's not Hugo Weaving.
No, he's not. And he seemed too charismatic and not like intimidating enough.
There's not as much gravitas behind his in the way that Hugo Weaving's was. His was different psycho feels.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that really got me was they kept showing clips of the Matrix throughout the movie as the game from 97. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what fucking game is this that you're showing? This is not even close to a game.
Yeah.
It's clearly a movie.
It's
no one
clearly,
has,
yeah.
No one has video games like this in 97. No one has video games like this now.
Yeah.
And like they want us to believe like these are clips of the game being played. And it's like they could have doubled down on, look, there are Matrix games they could have pulled from.
Yeah.
For sure. And good ones that they could have used clips from to be like, this
what
is
what did you think
of
the recasted scenes?
So,
the recreated recasted scenes.
That scene is fine for me because it's a scene Neo makes in his own like environment trying to like uncover these buried memory things.
I don't know, it just didn't feel the same.
But that's the point. It's he built it. He programmed it from scratch in his computer trying to remember what it was. So it's going to be off.
It's gonna feel off, but it's like the whole time I was just like, look.
And I love Morpheus Smith analog thing.
I mean, it made sense.
Yeah, it's look, he doesn't have these memories. He's trying to once again, he doesn't have the memories. He's trying to build something that works. These are two powerful men in his life that both have authority over him at some point. And he's with you know, broken memories and the concept that it's all a game he made.
Yeah.
Trying to put it together in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so like I liked that build for Morpheus, quote unquote Morpheus. I liked
Agent Morpheus.
Agent Morpheus. Yeah, thank you. Agent Morpheus, AI Morpheus.
Yeah.
I liked the idea of like he's exploring these repressed memories via a virtual simulation.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's clearly recast with different people. It's clearly like not the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be. It's not, they're not doing this
as
a one for
like
one. This is him building it.
I feel like they should have just abandoned it at that point. It's because it felt like they're just like, hey, for the sake of our idea, we're going to downplay the reason why you came to this movie.
Yeah. So
it's like, we're going to spit in the face of the previous movies just to drive home our point, whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, you're going to actually hate it more now because of it.
And I get it. Look, they used it as a setup for bringing Morpheus into the rest of the movie.
What about what was her name? Babs?
Or Bugs. It was Bugs. Because she was Bugs Bunny. She was
the
white rabbit. Yeah.
Did you feel the same way that I did where I was like, she is insanely important at the beginning and then barely
totally
important at the end.
Falls off of the radar.
And it was like, why were you building
this
up?
Can you name or describe any of the other crew of her ship? I can name one of them, and it's only because I, after the whole movie, recognized him from Stargate Universe.
No, I can't remember
Because
anybody.
They have no...
They're the most...
They're the
just
generic
bland,
NPC
generic
characters. Yeah. There's no detail on them. You don't even get names.
Yeah.
At least in the first movie, you got Switch, Apoc, you know, yeah, so on and so forth.
Cypher.
And even if they die quick or they have no role, you know them. They're
also
part of the crew.
When like Apoc and stuff died, I was like, ah, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Like there was like a sense of caring because like you saw them.
Yeah.
You heard them talk.
Yeah. All of the crew of Bugs's could have died in the train fight. I wouldn't have known or cared.
She should have had a one person ship.
Yep.
It should have just been her.
Her and like the two robots. That's all you needed. Yeah, that's it.
That's really it.
Yeah.
It was just, it was weird. Plus also the whole like, yes, it was funny, the whole who uses telephones anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that was funny. But it's like, I didn't quite, I was like, what are you guys only using mirrors now to do it? And like, so you guys are playing off of the locator program?
Yeah, I don't know what they're.
I was like, what? How are you getting in and out now?
I would have liked a movie about Bugs and her crew finding Neo.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, he's alive, the machines have him.
Yeah.
And like, that's the, like, fuck all this other story arc, the Agent Smith, the architect.
Yeah.
Other than, or not architect, whatever his name is, the administrator.
The administrator or whatever he's called.
Other than, like, okay, yeah, they have him tricked in, you know, glimpses of him, like, struggling with whether or not it's reality.
Yeah.
And then a movie about Bugs trying to reach him.
Yeah.
The end being, they wake him up. Like,
hey, that would have been good.
That would have been cool. Like,
that would have been really
good.
Leave
us on a hook. Like, bam, you woke up Neo. And maybe you wake him up in the system. Like, you finally, like, it's all real, Neo. They show him the reality
There's
of it.
There's something enough to make him
the
convinced.
Switch flips.
Yeah.
And he, like, I don't know, blows a building up with his mind and, like,
he
becomes Neo again. And then the movie ends. That'd have been fucking hot.
Yeah. It's or, like, he was literally, like, they convince him and he's in the office of Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris gets one line in there. And Neo just looks at him and just raises his hand and it blows him out the window.
Yeah, exactly. Anything like that. You don't even have to blow him out the window. He could just look at him and then put on the fucking sunglasses and walk out.
That would have been so much better.
Yeah, just anything like that. That lead up to it would have been great. You'd have had a whole new franchise in Bugs' crew and the people. And you could bring Neo back in a way that makes sense.
Do you know what I would have preferred with Trinity? I mean, instead of bringing her back as a reconstructed person who is now the one.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
which is weird to say that. It's weird to say the one also.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, I think it would have been even crazier if they would have brought her back as an agent.
Ooh, like they model the agents after Trinity?
After Trinity.
See, that would have been cool. That would have been interesting.
Because he would have been drawn to the thing that was meant to suppress him.
Also, they never touch on the fact that he uses his abilities outside of the Matrix.
Yeah, that's not explained at all.
Never even remotely touched on. And like, so if they'd said like, Neo is a legitimate psychic, that's where some of this power comes from.
Yeah.
And anything, any explanation on it, then that's why Trinity also is the one, because she was there, whatever, bonded psychically or something to make any of that make any sense. I mean, it's already high sci-fi. Yeah,
we've talked about that in our in our Matrix deep dive.
Yeah, but they don't explain it.
There's no explanation as to why he has it.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's things with it I did like.
Mm-hmm.
I think it had so much potential. I mean, they could have done something with Bugs. They could have done more with the is he insane or is it all in his head thing. They could have done a fucking story on Trinity waking up in the Matrix and realizing they're trapped and freeing Neo. They could have done...
The exact thing that I said, switch it and Neo's the fucking...
Yeah.
If Neo was the agent, if the avatar of Neo was an agent, that would fuck everything up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much they could have done and this fell flat on all of them.
Now, I also hated the swarm thing.
Oh, yeah, stupid. It was kind of fun the first time he did it. It was completely stupid afterwards.
Yeah.
The only part of it I liked is when he has them start kamikazing off buildings.
That was good. I was like, that's a creative use of it. But then at the same time, I was like, so there's NPCs now in the Matrix?
Everyone. Everyone's an NPC. Everyone's plugged in. They have control over everyone.
Well, then that would have been murdering his
Oh, yeah,
his
he's killing
crops.
Oh, yeah, he's killing
I thought he
crap.
Was legitimately just making NPCs.
I think they said like they kind of make it like, seem like there was NPCs.
Yeah.
But there's so many there that there's no way that's all NPCs and not people.
Who knows? I think
they just add the NPC line so that you don't feel like he's killing people
like he's
the whole
killing
time.
People the whole time. Because
that's what it is. These almost certainly, headcanon, almost certainly are actual people
that he's just sacrificing. That
he's just sacrificing to get Neo. And that's too dark for Warner Brothers nowadays.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't allow it.
Oh, speaking of that, I hated the idea that there was like a board of directors.
Feel like that whole scene, that scene right there is why this movie sucked.
Yeah.
Because that whole scene is probably a one for one of the conversation they had about like, look, they're going to make it.
Yeah.
They have the rights.
Yeah.
We're either in on it and probably shipwrecked it on purpose so that they can, that there's no interest in continuing it, or they do it without us.
Yeah.
And I bet you that's the conversation Warner Brothers really gave to the Wachowski director.
Yeah.
And that's probably the conversation they had with Keanu Reeves. And basically they said, look, we can make a boatload of money off of Warner Brothers right now.
Yeah.
And make sure that this never goes anywhere by giving them exactly what they asked for without any deviation.
Yeah.
Or they can do it without us and probably build it into a huge franchise and we won't make anything. And
it'll suck also.
And it'll also still
suck. Yeah. So all in
It was very on the nose. That whole Warner Brothers thing. And it was very on the nose. It's too on the nose to not be a real thing.
Yeah. There's too many things in this movie that were just insanely frustrating. And I just, if you're going, hey, do you want to see The Matrix? Mm-hmm. Just say no.
Yeah.
That's my suggestion.
If you're going to watch it on HBO Max or whatever, and then you feel like taking in some of it.
It took me 2 days to watch it.
Oh, that's rough. Well, how do you think I was in the theater.
Oh, you couldn't leave.
I couldn't do anything. You're sitting trapped in a chair, trapped at this movie, like, so you're let's like, move to something.
There's COVID around me, man.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move to something that was truly excellent.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And that is what we were super excited for. And it actually fucking delivered.
Oh my God. Absolutely amazing. Spider-Man. No Way Home.
And
although
you were right.
I nailed it, didn't I?
In some of the shit that you were saying. I was right on some of the shit. You were right on some of the shit.
I got to say this, though. I have never left a movie feeling more sad and desolate than at the end of No Way Home.
When I left, I was just kind of like, damn.
Like, Hannah was crying. We left and she was like, that's the loneliest life I can possibly imagine. She was legitimately upset. I was fucking like, I was like, fuck. Like, it's Peter Parker. It's
Peter Parker getting Peter Parker
syndrome. You can't be Spider-Man and be happy. I know that.
Yeah.
I felt like I do when I read the comics, which is I feel really bad for him.
Yeah.
And that's how this was. Like, the end of this is...
He's the kicked puppy. Got kicked hard.
Yes. Okay. Spoilers. If you guys didn't know we're talking about movies, they're going to be spoilers the whole time.
There's a spoiler for Matrix, but no one cares.
No one cares about Matrix.
Spoilers for this one.
Spider-Man spoilers. This I'm going to warn you about.
Because we care if you haven't seen this movie.
This movie is worth it. Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah.
So let's do the quick recap. We were right on a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, you know, Peter Parker, he's trying to get, you know.
He's trying to fix the things, trying to hit the undo button.
Mm-hmm, undo button.
Yeah.
The spell goes awry. Villains come from other multiverses. Mm-hmm. Or from the multiverse, from the other multiverse, universes. Yes. Yeah.
With very specific criteria.
Yeah, they died fighting Spider-Man.
Well, they knew that Peter was Spider-Man.
Yes.
So because of that,
mm-hmm.
very particular villains that we know and love came through,
mm-hmm.
and because of being in the MCU universe, many of them immediately were like, "Ooh, this is bigger and better, and I like this."
Yeah. And immediately had changes adjusted to them because they're in a different universe.
Yep.
And there's some really powerful stuff that could have mm-hmm. occurred that didn't, but I think it's leading into that with the multiverse stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Of course, first of all, shout out Doc Ock, Alfred Molina.
Fucking amazing. In this movie.
I loved him in this just as much as I loved him in Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
When Tobey Maguire's Peter and him meet mm-hmm. on the Statue of Liberty scaffolding. Yeah. They say the same lines from number two
mm-hmm.
to each other. And you could see like genuine affection.
Yeah.
And it's really good. And Willem Dafoe as mm-hmm. Goblin.
He was fucking
absolutely fucking amazing. I love the memes where it's like, he wasn't even in the movie. He just showed up on set one day in full costume and the director started filming. Because he's absolutely
he embodied
amazing.
That part. Yeah. Like really, really
better
did.
Than the first one. This version of him was significantly better than him in the first Spider-Man movie.
And he was amazing in the first one.
Oh yeah, but not to put
but
that
in this,
down.
But in this one, it really like his fractured psyche,
mm-hmm.
and also just how insanely intelligent and manipulative and conniving he was. Really came out.
You don't get that, you don't get the manipulative intelligence of the goblin in the first one.
Yeah,
he's got the crazy "I'm a murderer" thing going. But the first one doesn't really go for how dangerous the goblin is. Why the goblin's often considered Spider-Man's greatest enemy, and this one shows you exactly the fuck why.
Yeah,
like to a T. And you have the ones like the kind of middle of the road, the Lizard and Sandman, who are great.
You can tell that they were that those ones at least were acting as filler.
Yeah, they tried to pad it out.
They were like, let's round out. It needs to be a threat.
They wanted to go for that Sinister Six. It needed to be a threat to Peter. But
who was your favorite member? Mine was the Tree.
The Tree. Yeah, the Tree was excellent. I love that. Can you imagine if he just hit anything and just started sending stuff back? Like,
oh yeah,
send them pizza. Just like, so. That was really cool. The reveal for Andrew Garfield first of all, Ned, no longer the man in the chair, sorcerer. And not just a sorcerer, skilled.
Yeah. He taught himself the dimension door.
How long did it take Dr. Strange, one of the most powerful ever, to figure out how to do a fucking teleport sphere or, you know, door?
Ring thing.
Yeah. And Ned, like, on witnessing it once, was like, I think I got this, and fucking did it with some practice. Yeah. No training, no before
closing
knowledge.
The door, not as good.
But that's what happens when you're just whipping shit out on the fly.
When you're tweaking the structure of reality.
I also love that they make the full the full statement that Wong is the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, soon as they said that, I was like, you're just going to throw that in passing? What? Yeah,
that's how they like, I love that they're setting Wong up as a more important
character
in the MCU, especially because he gets shit on in the comics a lot.
Very much so, yeah.
And he's amazing in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about him in reference to other movies.
Anytime he's been in a movie.
Ten Rings, he was absolutely fucking... And that explains some things as like...
Oh, yeah, why he was doing
the things
he can
just do whatever he can do in Ten Rings because he's the fucking Sorcerer Supreme. Yeah. He could do whatever he wants. That's it.
He now has the sour cream, the lettuce, and the tomatoes.
Yes, exactly. So that was good. That was a cool like little thing.
Yeah.
When the Spider-Men fight and they're not used to the big thing, like they're not used to fighting together.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that if you're going to watch this movie for no other reason, the chemistry.
Oh my God.
Between the Spider-Men was insane.
Was
Spider-Man.
So
why did I say man?
Good. So good. They're, I hope they do more multiverse stuff with them. And it seems like they're hinting at it with some other things.
Yeah.
You're right. Their chemistry was insane, and the way that Garfield and Maguire help young Peter Parker, because they have lived through all of the shit they've already lived through.
They immediately had a familial kind of like brother, dynamic.
Yes,
where you had the oldest Toby, the seasoned and you know, I'm really just here to help.
Yeah.
I really want to see you guys become the best versions.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Andrew Garfield just being kind of like the spastic middle one where he's just kind of like, dude, this is dope. Dope.
Yeah. Exactly. And then Peter, the young, like,
it's just kind of like, you guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah. It worked so well, their whole dynamic. And I love that you get the genius montage of them like,
oh, all of them. Did you notice that on multiple occasions they did the three Spider-Man meme?
No, they did. Yeah, they constantly, because
during the Peter scene, they all pointed at each other, and then also when they were trying to figure out who was Peter one was designated, but Peter two and Peter three, they all pointed at each other again. Yeah,
that was so good. And this one I think emphasized how much I like Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Yeah,
because you have this version of Peter Parker, the MCU Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Who was just absolutely refusing to kill these guys and have them die.
I will say, it completely threw, like, we were totally wrong.
Oh my
God,
yeah, that was totally
what we thought the storyline was
for
this.
That's where we deviated.
Yeah.
He was not willing to let them just get sent back and die.
Yeah.
And that's, And he was so not willing. He, once again, being Spider-Man, the most Spider-Man-y of Spider-Man, mm-hmm. he was willing to die on this hill against the fucking Sorcerer Supreme,
yep.
who he beat with math that in the was mirror dimension.
A mind-boggling scene.
He's like looking at it, and I'm like, what the fuck is... And you realize, like, oh, Peter is a genius once
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
And he just fucking...
You know what's better than magic?
Math! Whoosh! And yeah. he and I, when he left him, I was like, he left Doctor Strange in the mirror dimension without a sling ring.
I was like, you got what?
Yeah, I was like, he's there now. Like,
do you know what that reminded me of?
Mm-hmm.
That reminded me of the comic book scenes, like when he beat the Hulk in a fight yeah. by just using his brain,
yeah,
and just being like, I'll just make him laugh and he won't be angry anymore, and he's gonna change back.
Yeah, exactly.
It, like it, that kind of problem solving mm-hmm. mid fight.
Yeah,
in the comics that are really like highlighted, where yeah. it's like you have no business beating this person.
Yeah,
especially on their home turf,
mm-hmm.
like beating the Hulk in a fist fight mm-hmm. or Doctor Strange in an alternate dimension. You have no business chance. Beating them, but because you're smart,
because he's so smart and fast on the,
mm-hmm.
he comes up with a quick. The other thing established very clearly that, well, first of all, Tobey Maguire,
mm-hmm.
fully grown man.
Fully.
Yeah, he's like, he's Spider-Man has been for
yeah.
a long time,
mm-hmm.
Established him as clearly the strongest Spider-Man.
Yes.
Physically strength-wise, not...
Oh, yeah.
Not, maybe not the smartest, maybe not whatever, but when he just two-handed stops... Holland from crushing the goblin with his own glider, and this is Tom Holland this Spider-Man is upset.
This is Obi-Wan tapping into the dark side.
Yeah, he's reaching for that strength.
Yeah,
and Toby is not even flexing. He's
he's just dead holding
stopped.
It. There's yeah. no like
no struggle. Holland's
struggling yeah. pushing, and he's just like, nah, dude, not going any further than this.
That right there is. And by the way, keep in mind. Tom Holland, they show you how fucking strong he is.
Oh, yeah.
When he stops, you know, the Winter Soldier's arm like it's nothing. And
exactly.
all kinds of other different instances of, like, how powerful he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Toby's Spider-Man's just, no.
Yeah.
This is not what you want.
I will say, as someone who wasn't a big fan of The Amazing Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Garfield was a fucking breakout star in this.
He was awesome at this. Absolutely amazing.
Incredible. And I was like, you know what? This is what... The Amazing Spider-Man was missing.
Yeah.
It was missing that core cast that he can play off of.
Yeah.
Because
that's it. You're right. 100%. Because
Tom Holland has that in spades.
Mm-hmm.
And Toby even had that, where he had different characters that he got to interact with in different ways. And Andrew Garfield really didn't get that.
None of them had the same, none of the villains had the same kind of charisma. Mm-hmm. Like, at least with, you know, Toby, he could. There's a lot of play between him and Doc Ock.
Oh yeah,
that's what made him so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jamie Foxx, he was okay.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor, but okay.
You know, it's a weird part to play.
Yeah, and it was okay. It was good. I mean, it played the part it needed to in the movie, and he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have that rapport with Garfield
mm-hmm.
that would drive that kind of Spider-Man quippiness.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for like.
I mean, with Lizard Man, he has the relationship at least. But I will say, in that one, he did have more. There was more banter and back and forth, at least, you know, before the giant fight and stuff like that.
Also, MCU is notorious for banter. Every fucking character is
interject comedy anywhere that you can.
Every character and their mother is someone that banters and quips constantly. Yeah. So,
it's like no one is that witty.
Yeah.
And the real odds world. That you're going to get 27 people that are that witty, you're out of your fucking mind.
Exactly. But this, because you have all Spider-Man, makes sense. Totally. That is Spider-Man. They're just different universe Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And that was just, it was very good. I very much enjoyed it. So the end.
Well, no, I do want to, before we say anything about the end, I do want to say fucking tip my hat to you on calling Aunt May.
Oh, yeah. I told you, dude.
I know you did, and I know you even pointed out the comic.
Yeah.
That you were like, this is what they're basing it off of. I know for a fact.
Yeah.
How blindsided were you, though, with the great power
comes
great responsibility?
When she said it, I was like, well, there it is. That's the And as soon as she said it, I was like, well, now she's going to die.
She's going to die now. Yep, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, she is going to die in the next 35 seconds.
If you have a struggling nephew or niece in your future and you ever get the urge to tell them with great power comes great responsibility, you shut the fuck up
because you're going to die. You're going to die right after saying that.
So it was that whole scene was amazing. Happy, like pulling up in front of the police to try to like give him.
Yeah.
An ounce of a moment with his now dead aunt.
I will say that the whole scene, I was just like, oh, fuck.
I'm crying.
I am emotionally just done. I'm like, I am done right now. Especially as a huge fan of Marissa Tomei.
Oh, my God.
Like, ever since, like, My Cousin Vinny, I've been an amazing. Like, she's incredible, and I love her. And one thing that I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. That I said to my brother. My brother completely agreed with me on this. Yeah. I was like, do you know what this was? This was Spider-Man 1.
This was Spider-Man 1, especially for the end when we get to that.
Yeah. I'm like, everything else was building up to this moment.
It was the build-up for Spider-Man 1 I never knew I needed.
Everything else was a prequel.
It was.
This is Spider-Man 1.
Everything with the Avengers, everything that came before, that was Peter learning his chops. You know, earning himself to be Spider-Man. And then this movie, Aunt May dies. And at the end of the movie, he is the traditional super sad kicked puppy, life shit on left and right Spider-Man. Mm-hmm.
Before we say the end, though.
Yeah.
Him and Zendaya. Holy shit.
Yes.
I mean, I'm super glad that they're like officially dating in real life because I'm like obsessed with their relationship. They're the cutest fucking couple.
They are adorable. You're but a little creepy, but they're adorable.
In the movie, though, their chemistry and how they bounce off. Mm-hmm. And she, I think more than anybody else that's ever played MJ or a love interest, you know what, for any character, a love interest for any superhero, I think that she, and what's crazy is she's the youngest.
Yeah.
She has the best outlook on what it means to be dating a superhero.
You mean she's not a piece of shit, selfish shit like all the other love interests in previous movies? Not to say, look, Gwen Stacy was awesome.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I loved Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
And the whole Andrew Garfield thing about that and Gwen Stacy and like how he's still so fucked up and he swooped in for... I called that one. You'd probably call it, but we did talk about
We did talk in
that was
the look on his face. He didn't have to say any words.
No, yeah.
To just be like, I finally.
Yeah, like that's the redeeming moment.
Yeah, it was
It might
so
not be
good.
His, but it's for him.
At the end of the day, it's for Spider-Man.
Yep.
He did it for Peter.
Exactly.
He saved Peter's love.
Yep.
It might not have been his love, but it was Peter's love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was so good.
But the scene of them like talking on the roof where she's just insanely supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what he's worried about, that his weakest moments, she's there for him, giving him exactly what he needs and not more than that, trying to take away from what he's feeling, but just adding support to it. And I was like, that is well beyond the years for what, you know, that, you know, Michelle, I love how they actually gave her, you know, she is MJ
Michelle Watson.
So I love that they did that.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, she is in a level of maturity that I don't even think most adults would be able
to
do. And it was incredible.
But I mean, and that comes through in that. I think Zendaya as a person is a lot more mature, at least through some of her acting. If she's not more mature, she acts mature very well. Dune and this and just in general, just that's her like her quirky style of acting. And it works really well for her.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Let's talk about the end. you sure you don't want to talk about how the suit was just inside out for the whole time?
Oh my God, that whole thing with the suit being inside out.
Or the basement. You want to talk about the basement for a second?
Just the whole movie. There's lots of, I mean, we could go on for a while.
Yeah,
it's an amazing
easily
movie.
Could.
And there's a lot of little nods here and there. I mean, you know, I love the fact that the fucking nano suit saves Peter by taking over the arm, pairing with Doc
Jesus
Ock's arms.
Christ, yeah.
And I was just like, well, that's Stark tech. Like, he's known for just taking over other people's shit. So
exactly.
When
there's so many little things that were like, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
So the end, the only solution to stop the multiverse from basically all coming here is to erase everyone's memory of Peter, period. Period.
No qualms, no addendums.
Nothing. Yeah, there's no additions, no subtractions, no... And it's not just that he's Spider-Man. It's all memory of him.
Yeah.
Peter Parker, period.
Does not exist. In the minds of every single living human being.
Yep, and probably some aliens
at this
point. Yeah,
true.
He's been to space.
Yeah.
He's no longer a memory. He's not even there.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends this movie just like on a, he's like so optimistic and like ready to do it.
Just the him walking to the place where MJ works,
yeah,
and going over his speech,
yep,
in the same kind of nervous, mm-hmm, tripping over his words way that he was doing it earlier,
yep,
was heartbreaking. Oh, when you saw how that ended.
When he okay, so we're heavy spoilers.
Super heavy spoilers.
He goes there to try to, you know, talk MJ, to remind her of him. That's the goal. And Ned is there, and okay, mm-hmm, he sees their acceptance letters from MIT.
And he's like,
and he realizes or thinks.
Well, it's not just that. It was when he saw the cut.
Yeah.
And it reminded him, like, she's in danger.
Yeah. Anyone close to him will be in danger, period.
Yeah.
And he decides to just let them go and live their lives and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so the end is like him like walking into this shitbox apartment.
Weirdly optimistic.
Weirdly optimistic. Yeah. Like he's in it. He's super optimistic as he walks into the shitbox apartment with like almost nothing, couple boxes to his name. He's visiting
apparently a sewing machine. Yeah,
he's at his Aunt May's grave, and no one even knows that she's his Aunt May. Like Happy's there.
Doesn't recognize him.
The whole end just left me. We walked out of that, and I was like, that was amazing. I want to cry.
He did don the black and red.
He did, yeah.
Official Spider-Man outfit, mm-hmm, though, which was amazing.
Yep.
But yeah, it was. I think it was exactly what Peter needed.
Yes.
Because
it is the perfect jumpstart. Like I said, I never thought of that, but it is the best movie one.
Yeah.
Or the lead up to movie one.
It is the best origin of actual Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I think most people's qualms with Tom Holland.
Mm.
Well, not even Tom Holland, because everybody's pretty much unanimously like, he's just fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But everyone's main problem with the MCU version of Spider-Man has been Spider-Man hasn't done shit on his own.
Yeah.
He always hasn't had done Stark anything.
Or whatever, Doctor Strange in this
Somebody was helping him out, which I will say, Doctor Strange saying, we will not remember, we'll forget you, or, you know, everyone that loves you, we're not going to remember, including himself
Oh my God. And then the whole thing with that, people that shit on this Spider-Man, and I get their point. It's this Spider-Man has it too good.
Had it too good.
Super suit from Stark.
Yeah.
All kinds of better advantages and tech, you know, an aunt that's alive.
He had a father figure. He had a mother figure. He had a girlfriend and best friend.
It started as the light MCU friendly Spider-Man, and it ended as the shit down upon Peter Parker of the comics we've all read about, losing everything and anything he cares about for decades.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing is that at this point, even if he does reclaim a lot of the stuff in his life, he's always going to have this shadow over everything else. Uh-huh. He's like, even if he does get MJ back, even if he does get Ned as a best friend again, even if, you know, all of these things happen, there's still that shadow of, I lost so much
everything
to even get back to square one with anybody.
And the Goblin did what he said he needed, which was he killed his aunt. He brought him that defining moment in the life of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I thought that moment was when Stark died. I thought that was going to be like...
That's what I thought too.
I know, like, that's going to be his like kind of thing.
I think that's what... If you're going to compare it to anything, I think... That one, you know, Spider-Man becoming Spider-Man is always Peter Parker falling off of a cliff and landing in shit and then picking himself up and then constantly getting more shit thrown on top of him.
And climbing back up the cliff and halfway up, someone just shoots him. You know,
exactly. But that's what it is. What Tony dying was him tripping and falling and being at that edge.
Yeah.
And it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
He could have either completely been fine or what happened happened.
Yeah.
And he could have lost everything.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. Tony was the inciting incident for Aunt May to be the rock bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And that was really done well in this movie. So yeah, I gave this, I loved this.
This is utterly incredible. Yeah. And if I was going to give it a score out of 100, I'd probably give it like a 96.
Yeah, this is probably like a 9.5, 10 for me. And I don't have very many of those.
Yeah. It was incredible. What'd you think of the after credit stuff?
So now we have Venom in the MCU.
We do.
And that also hints that Venom, has a hive memory that they can't access because they were pulled here because Venom in one universe knew that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. So this Venom got pulled to this one.
Yeah, which is an incredible idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And that in and of itself is really cool, but I love that the whole scene is Eddie Brock just like, excuse me, you're telling me that these people are doing...
Yeah.
Like, he's just at a bar getting tanked with Venom.
Which I think was also hilarious because everyone's like... It needs to be the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
There needs to be six.
Yeah.
And there was.
There was six.
He was just like, I'm not fucking going and doing all that stuff.
Why would he go find Spider-Man? He doesn't give a shit.
Exactly.
It just made perfect sense.
Yeah.
And it brought at least the Venom symbiote at the end.
Yeah.
Into the MCU.
Yeah.
In San Francisco. Because that's where he came through once again. He came through in San Francisco. So he's at a bar in San Francisco where he lives in his universe.
Yeah.
And
everything's happening on the other side of the country,
he's like,
until he just one day is just like, okay, I'm gonna go meet this Spider-Man guy,
and just like, and by the way, the bartender being like, yeah, where have you been? Five years, people were gone, like half the population. Yeah. He's like, what?
I mean, if you just sit and explain,
oh my god,
the MCU to somebody as if it was real life, they'd be like, this is a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah, yep. So that was good. Did you see the second one?
The second post one. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was. I was so focused on that one.
So I didn't see it. I heard there was, and I was going to look it up on YouTube, and I still haven't watched it. But I heard it was good, but not anything. I don't think it was anything. Okay. I don't remember what it was, but I don't think it was anything.
I did watch it. It was basically a commercial. It was the trailer for Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, okay.
That's all it was. Yeah. If you've seen the trailer for Multiverse of Madness, then that's what was after.
Which is what I'm leading into is this made me so hype for Multiverse of Madness.
I'm insanely excited for that.
The Doctor Strange and the multiverse and everything that's going to go on. And the Multiverse of Madness is supposed to be like the first MCU horror movie?
Yeah.
Like that's a...
That's a big ticket to fill.
It's a big ticket. Yeah. They're stretching. And I mean, I think after watching this and seeing, I mean, it's Benedict Cumberbatch, so he's amazing.
Yeah.
I think they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've been building up to the multiversal stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty hard. I mean, Loki, WandaVision, Doctor Strange, clearly, you know, No Way Home.
Yeah.
It's just,
nail in the coffin. This is what
phase
it's gonna
four
be.
Is like multiverse of madness kind of shit. I mean,
exactly.
You know, Ant-Man's new enemy is Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's,
which we were talking in at no end almost when we were talking about Loki.
Yeah.
So, you know that we're excited for Kang.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just, and even like just, it's just, it's all building up to this and I'm really excited to see where it goes.
Very much so. I will say, and this is just the last thing that I'll say, I'm going to set up a future episode.
Yeah.
I feel like we should probably discuss at some point in a future episode, do we think that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is negatively affecting cinema and people's expectations of movies and stuff like that? I think we should probably, because I'm seeing so many things in so many different mediums that are like, anytime someone's like, oh, well, this could have done so much more, they're always like, well, Marvel movies, blah, 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 blah. So I think we're going to have like a real sit down conversation.
I think so. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
You know, no matter how much we love these movies, because we do, and it's especially Spider-Man, definitely. Yeah.
But are they detrimental?
Is it detrimental to cinema as a whole?
One other thing. Have you seen the trailer for Morbius?
Yes.
You sound excited.
I actually am. Like, I feel like it can be... It's dark enough that it's got me excited for it. I think that they're leaning too much into the hero aspect. I feel like he should have been a villain first.
I think they might still go with it, and the trailers might be pulling... I mean, Marvel does the switcheroo on the trailers a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could go in that direction. And if it does, I'd like that more.
That's what I'm hoping, that he's more of a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because I think that how he looks, how mm-hmm. he's getting the power, yep. like how he's portrayed.
The whole thing, yeah.
I think that all looks really, really good. And hopefully they just make him a bad guy. Or like more bad than good.
I gotta say, I like the premise. I like, you know, mm-hmm. like everything you just said. I like how he looks. I like how he gets his powers, the mm-hmm. whole concept. I hope they go kind of villain on him.
Yeah.
That being said, from the trailer, I don't think it's going to be good.
I mean, I feel like it's going to end up being like Venom.
If that trailer is the best they could cobble together, which mm-hmm. is usually the case,
yeah,
that is not very good praise in my book.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it is, once again, the switcheroo, because Marvel does that a lot mm-hmm. with the fake out trailers.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to be like Venom. And I liked Venom.
I did too. Venom wasn't amazing.
I didn't love Venom.
Yeah.
But I liked Venom as a movie.
Yeah.
You know, like it was a good like 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Kind of movie.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably going to be the same thing, unless they lean into him being
a true villain.
Like a terrifying yeah. force of the night. Yeah. If they do that, where he's killing people.
Losing himself to it more and more.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Like, even if he starts as a hero and that transition to mm-hmm. villain as it the
yeah.
takes over, that would be cool. I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather it be that.
I still don't see it being better than maybe a 7.5.
No, I doubt it's gonna go past 7.
Yeah,
but it could. I could be totally fucking wrong. Matrix looked like it'd be amazing the
movie,
and it was hot garbage.
Yeah,
this looks like it's not gonna be amazing. It could be absolutely fantastic.
Matrix, I give like a 2 to the Matrix.
Oh my god,
like legitimately.
Yeah. 2.5, 3 for me tops.
But yeah. So yeah, we should probably close it down here.
Yeah.
So we will start by saying, of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We're gonna be everywhere there, but the best place to do so, Turtle, I'll let you say it. It's been a while.
RumRunnersPodcastNetwork.com.
There it is. You can find all of the episodes of all of our shows there. More importantly, we are a legitimate network now. If you want to have...
You say that like we weren't actually doing this before.
We were, but now we actually are, because we actually have more shows that have joined the network.
Oh,
so
well,
if you
cool.
like to also join the network, you can go to the same website. We've revamped it, retooled it.
Awesome.
You can go to the bottom of the homepage. You'll see a contact us.
Mm-hmm.
You can put your name, your yeah. email address, and let us know what podcast you host, because you can join the Rum Runners Podcast Network family.
Yeah.
So just go to the website, rumrunnerspodcastnetwork.com, and you'll be able to do that. Follow us on Facebook, at our Facebook group at mm-hmm. Rum Runners Podcast. What was it? RRPN, right? RRPN Family. RRPN Family is the Facebook group. On Instagram mm-hmm. and on Twitter at yep. Talk Shonen.
Yep.
And I'll let Turtle take the rest.
Be sure to follow our partner, Times Live Radio Net, Times Live Radio Group, Times Live Media Group.
It's Times Live Radio Media Studios. Group,
and Times Live Radio. Jesus. It's, you know.
I got you. It's been a while.
It's been a wee bit. And give them a follow on Facebook and, mm-hmm. You know, check them out for other
yeah.
podcast related.
We have a few shows that are going to be coming out, before we have at least 2 shows on mm-hmm. that network that we're producing.
Awesome.
That'll be coming out by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And then within the next 3 months, I'd say we're probably going to have a good like 5 or 6 more shows coming out.
Nice.
So definitely keep an eye on everything, because mm-hmm. Rum Runners are coming big at you in 2022.
Hitting you hard like Fields from Spider-Man No Way Home.
Boom.
Boom. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Embrace your fandom.
And let your nerd flag fly.
Peace.